95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. I'm excited to talk to today's guest. I've always been fascinated with the opera and opera singers. Oddly enough, even though I find it so interesting, I've never actually been to an opera. Yes. My next guest is an opera singer. Marietta Simpson is a Philadelphia native who graduated from Temple University and has built a career as a singer of opera, classical music, and spirituals. Marietta will be performing for her hometown in the world premiere of a new opera, Sky on Swings, which is focused on the struggle of Alzheimer's disease. Please welcome Marietta to Her Story. Hi.
Hi.
So yes, I've never been to an opera.
You know what? I have my mouth open, but you know, really, it's not surprising. There are lots of people who haven't been to an opera before, and this would be a great opportunity to come see one.
Yeah, it would be. And I do really want to see this because I do have a personal connection with the disease. My grandmother had Alzheimer's and she passed away years ago from the disease. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
I think this would be something that that I would like to see.
There are lots of people that have connections to Alzheimer's, and this really would be a great opportunity.
You're from the Philadelphia area. You went to Temple. Are you still local?
I'm not. I live in Indiana now because I teach at Indiana University, the Jacobs School of Music. But yeah, I'm born and bred here in Philadelphia. Went to Girls High and have lots of connections still here.
And you studied at Temple. What was your major?
My major was music education. At the time, I was a trombone major, and I thought I was going to be a band instructor. But student teaching taught me differently, and that's why I believe in student teaching wholeheartedly, because it gives you a taste of what your life will be, and it gives you that opportunity to see if, in fact, that's something you would like to do.
So when did you start singing?
I've been singing my whole life. My family actually sang together. We were known as the Singing Simpsons. And my parents,
where did you sing?
We sang all over. We sang in churches. We sang for civic organizations. We sang all up and down the East Coast. We went to Canada, Bermuda. We spent a lot of time in the car and on planes singing together.
The Singing Simpsons.
Yes, yes. We actually did some TV programs for one of the local stations that won some local Emmys for culture for the area.
When did you explore opera then?
Well, opera was always playing and classical music was always playing in the background in our house because both of my parents really loved classical music. And one of my late sisters actually went to Juilliard as a singer. So it was just always in the atmosphere. And so when I graduated from Temple, I went to SUNY Binghamton to be a part of a young artist training program that you worked with the opera company and got your master's degree at the same time. And so that's when I started down the track of opera.
You have a master's degree in what?
In music with a specialization in opera.
Okay, I'm not a singer. I have the worst voice in the world.
I don't believe it, but go ahead.
No, trust me.
Everyone says that.
I'm going to play audio for you, and then you'll believe me. Let me tell you a quick story. When I was in the fourth grade, they called it special chorus, and it was singers that they plucked out of the school, and they would do a special performance during the school chorus performance.
Right.
And I didn't get picked. And I went home and I told my mom and I was like, I really want to do this. So my mom called the school and she called the music teacher and the music teacher was like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll let her in. And I went to school the next day thinking that she was going to tell me, yep, okay, well, you're in the special chorus.
Right.
They never called me to the music room. They never called me to the office. I never heard from the music teacher.
Oh,
I think I was that bad that she was like, just tell her mom, we'll say yes. And
oh,
they never did.
No.
I never made it in.
Listen, you should not have taken that to heart. My father, who had a beautiful voice, was never picked for the choir when he was in school. I think sometimes those experiences can really put a mark on a child's psyche for the rest of their lives, you know? But you shouldn't let that hinder you.
All right. Okay. But I would imagine that it takes a special type of singer to be able to sing opera.
Well, it takes a certain amount of training. Yes, it does. Because, of course, 9 times out of 10, you will not be using amplification. And so there are years and years of training involved in learning how to project your voice and then learning languages. And it's discipline that's involved with it. Yes, certainly.
How did you get to where you are today? Take me then from, you talked a little bit about your schooling and your background. Mm-hmm. How did you get to where you are now?
I would say there's a lot of investment of time and energy and heartache and hopes and dreams and people investing along the way. I went from SUNY Binghamton to the Houston Grand Opera's Young Artist Program. I was in Chautauqua, New York, and that also the apprentice program and studio program there. And from my time in Houston, actually, I started my professional career after that time. So it's a lot of years of young artist time. And then, although you're working, you're still studying and you're still coaching, which means that you're taking your music in and someone is assisting you with languages and stylistic things. The training and the lessons never stop, even though you are still working. So sometimes students think, when I get this degree, that will be the end of my learning. That's just the beginning of the learning. The learning never stops.
So are you still learning?
I still am. Yes. Even though I'm teaching, I'm still learning. So in preparation for this role, I had to put all of these years of lessons and coachings come into play, but I still am taking lessons because as you develop physically and change physically, your instrument, which is my voice, changes as well. It's not like a clarinet that stays the same. Because the vocal folds are encased in your body and your body is changing, your instrument changes.
Who was an inspiration for you?
So many different people. First of all, I have to say, you get older and you start to become a little bit more reflective. The first inspirations for me were in my house, because those were the voices that I heard all the time. My mother, my sisters, my father, and my brothers. So those were the first voices that I heard. But then outside of there, the voices of Marian Anderson, the voice of Leontine Price, all of those voices that were very huge in the African-American community. Then the next layer of voices that I heard were choral voices. Robert Shaw was huge in our home because, you know, we had the brown cabinet stereo at the time. And we had recordings of Robert Shaw that were played all the time because my parents loved that music. And so when I had the opportunity to work with him years later, it was like a dream come true because he was an icon in our home. Elaine Brown was my choral director in college. And so she too was a huge influence because she was one of the people that gave me my first opportunities to be a soloist when I was at Temple. There are so many people that were instrumental in me becoming instrumental, that were instrumental in me becoming the singer that I am. That, you know, people like Florence Quivar, who I had an opportunity to meet later and perform with. When I look back over my life, I think there were people that I looked up to growing up in this profession and then had an opportunity to meet. I feel so incredibly blessed and fortunate to have had the life that I've had.
Sure, of course. When you're able to meet somebody that you looked up to or was an idol for you.
Absolutely.
Tell me what Sky on Swings is about.
Sky on Swings is about the human struggle to find connection, even in the midst of disease. And that's what happens in the course of this opera. Two women that we discover within the opera. I play Martha, a woman who has lived with the disease for a longer period of time that we meet at the beginning of the opera. And Danny, who's played by the incredible Friederike von Stade, who we affectionately know as Flicka. She is a legend in the field of opera. And she is one of those cases of a person that I've admired for so many years and now have the incredible good fortune of having the opportunity to work with. She's just discovering that she has the disease. So we watch her making that discovery. They meet each other in this Alzheimer's unit and they make a connection. I think the thing that people will discover is that even within the context of this really dire kind of diagnosis and depressing diagnosis, there is still the human need for connection. And they make it in an unusual way, but they find each other. And isn't that what people are looking for? A feeling of contact and intimacy. And it's not conventional, but it's there and it's real for both of them.
You may think that this is an odd question, but is there any humor to the show?
No, it's not an odd question, because otherwise, wouldn't we want to come out of that show and just get a bottle of something and just drink ourselves to oblivion?
Well, that's why I ask, because like I said before, I had a personal experience with the disease. My grandmother suffered from Alzheimer's. And part of how we as a family got through it was we had to find the humor in it sometimes.
Absolutely. And there is humor within it. I haven't had a personal experience with Alzheimer's, I've said in the course of the interviews for this show, but my family has certainly dealt with mental illness. And you have to find the humor within it to deal with it. And there is humor within this show.
Sure.
And there is hope within the show.
Is the show touring the country?
No, not as of yet. We do hope that other people will see it and want to produce this production. I think it's certainly worthy of another outing, but this will be the premiere of it.
So the premiere of the show is here in Philadelphia.
Here in Philadelphia. And I will say this, it is the amazing thing that Opera Philadelphia does is puts together artistic teams of the highest caliber. And that's what we have here with our composer, Lembit Beecher, Joanna Settle, and Hannah Moskowitz, the librettist. And it is just an amazing team of people that David Devan and Michael Eberhardt have put together. And they put together these different artistic teams that come up with these amazing concepts. And the opera company has once again done this with Sky on Swings. And we are all so thrilled to be a part of this production.
Are your family and friends going to come see you?
Oh, absolutely. They are. They are.
So what's that going to be like for you to perform in front of them? Do you get nervous? Or are you glad they're there?
I'm thrilled they're there because they've been there all along. Of course, I get nervous. If I'm not nervous, I'm nervous about why I'm not nervous.
Okay.
It will be exciting to have them there. It will be exciting to have everybody there. Everyone has worked so hard with this production, and we want to share this incredible story with everyone. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I really want to see this show.
We really want you to see it,
well,
too.
Thank you. Do you want to sing something for us today?
Oh, my goodness gracious, alive.
That's why I asked, do you want to? I'm putting you on the spot.
I always want to sing, but yeah.
Have you prepped your voice? What do you do for different exercises before you perform?
Oh, lots of different things. Once I was warming up in the car with my daughter and her friends when she was a teenager. And of course, you know, as teenagers will do, they all immediately started doing the exercises. I wanted to throw them all out of the car, the speeding car. Do lots of humming and lots of sirens, you know, nonsensical kind of, you know, shoo-yoo-yoo-yoo-yoo-yoo-yoo and things that bridge. Things that actually have made their way into the show.
What about tea, coffee, warm drink, or a cold drink? What's best for your vocal cords?
For me, not extremes. Not too cold, not too hot. I would love to say I'm not a coffee drinker. That would be a colossal lie. I am in the morning. I'm also a tea drinker. Yeah, nothing too extreme.
What happens when you get sick or you get a cold?
Lots of prayer. Lots of try to avoid getting sick so I don't have to deal with any of that. But when I do, lots of emergency, lots of home remedies. I try, honestly, really hard to avoid getting sick at all cost. But all of us do. I have my own kind of home remedies.
Can you give us an example of a home remedy?
Well, yeah, a home remedy for me. And remember, consult your own doctor before trying anything.
Of course.
I'm a big Ricola fan. I do Ricola tea. I do ginger, raw ginger tea and ginger and honey. And I do wellness formula. I'm a big homeopathic person as well. And I stack things. I'm doing everything in the kitchen sink to hurry up and get through something. I do not believe in letting things linger. And also, I'm a big believer in the neti pot, too.
Oh, I do that.
Absolutely.
Do you do it every day or when you're sick?
When I'm sick, I'm one of those people. I'm not an everyday person.
Okay.
I have to do inhalers because I also recently discovered I have asthma.
I do the Neel Med. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
So it's the same thing as the neti pot. Is yours kind of like a genie shaped?
No, I do the
squeeze.
Yeah, it's a squeeze.
Okay, that's the exact same one that I do.
Yeah.
But I just started to get some sinus issues. Whenever the weather changes, I get bad sinuses.
Yeah.
So I just did it last night.
Yeah, well, I believe in that wholeheartedly.
It works for sure. Is this a full-time job for you?
No, it used to be. And then about 13 years ago, I started teaching at the university in Indiana. And the shift in the amount of time that I perform and the amount of time I start teaching went more towards teaching and less performing. So now I spend more time at the university. And that was a sort of natural shift. I always thought that teaching would be a part of my life. And so as my daughter went to college and, you know, you start to reprioritize your life. And I started thinking that a lot of people, like I said before, a lot of people have invested in me from my elementary school teacher who is still alive, still going strong, Dan Rothermel, my high school teacher, Dimitri Kariga, lots of people imparted a lot into me. I felt like I wanted to give something back. And this was a great way to do that. So when the university came calling, that seemed like a great opportunity to do that. So I've been there ever since.
Is that when you moved from Philadelphia?
That's when I moved from Philadelphia to Indiana. And the great thing about Indiana University, and I have to say this because not every school is like this, Indiana University really, really honors performers. And the thing that they're good about is they're good about letting you go and perform as long as it doesn't impact your students in a negative way. And so I respect the fact that my students need me to be there, but they need me to be there as a whole person, not as a person wishing that they were performing or taking it out on my students because I'm not fulfilling some dream of my own. And so when I came there, I had already done a lot. So there wasn't, you know, me casting a wistful eye towards the performing stage. I was ready to come there. I was happy to be there, not unhappy that I hadn't fulfilled some dream of my own, trying to fulfill it through them.
That's interesting that you say that.
I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing there. And then when I get the opportunity to come away from there, I'm very happy always to return back.
Sure. That's really nice. So. And I guess that the listeners are going to have to come to the show if they want to hear you sing. Is that what you're telling me?
No! Because I don't know how well it's going to go over all that.
Okay. I'm just joking. All right. If people want to come out to see the show, what's the best way for them to get tickets?
They should go to the website. There'll be 5 performances of this. That our opening night is September 20th. And our closing day is September 29th, but the best way to do it is on the website.
And the website is operaphila.org. And yeah. Where exactly is it being performed?
Well, it's being performed at the Kimmel Center in the Perelman Theater.
Great.
Yeah.
If you could give one bit of advice to the listeners today, what would you say to them?
Well, it's something that I've been thinking a lot about. And I think if I were to give anybody any piece of advice, it would be make your life count. Do something intentional with your life that will impact someone else's life, whether it be in music or out of music, so that when your life is done, you don't have regrets about what you've done with the time that you've been allotted.
Perfect. Marietta, thank you so much for coming by today.
It has been a real pleasure.
If you'd like to find out more information or purchase tickets to see Marietta Simpson in the world premiere of the new opera Sky on Swings at the Kimmel Center, you can go to operaphila.org. You have 6 more days to see the show. It runs now until September 29th at the Kimmel Center. Thanks so much for joining me again today here on Her Story. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.